You ever get something stuck in your teeth?
Unfortunately, yes.
It's the worst.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm fresh off of lunch, so I'm just a little bit, you know, I'm coming back, my first episode back, and I'm a little bit like, hope nothing's in my teeth.
And it's an acai bowl. It's like...
Yeah, this is...
The number one offender.
And yeah, by the way, it's like, when you have acai, I mean, what could it be? Granola, blueberries, hemp seed, you got some flax. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
It's like last night, I'm making my boys floss. Remember when your parents used to make you floss when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did, like, with two teeth.
Yeah, you're like, this is the biggest waste of my time.
Yes.
Outside of all the chores I have to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then you grow old and you're like, there's a passion about flossing. Like, this affects my social life from a smell standpoint and a visual standpoint.
I also never want to go to the dentist or orthodontist again in my entire life. I just want to live healthy teeth.
Yeah.
Yep. But to me, I feel like my commitment to the dentist is like, because I want to have teeth the rest of my life.
True.
Yeah.
You know, and what's better than a good cleaning?
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, when you're in the cleaning, it's like hardship. It's not fun.
No.
No discipline is enjoyable. But when you walk out of a cleaning, you couldn't tempt me with an acai bowl.
True.
When you walk out of a cleaning, I'm just looking for some high quality H2O.
Yeah, I'm staying away from coffee for a while.
I just got my teeth cleaned.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that new car smell. You just keep feeling like, wow, am I zesty or what?
Zesty.
Confidence, smile, pearly whites. There's no acai bowl around here. You know what it's time for, guys?
What?
It's time for a cleaning. Let's go. Oh, welcome back, leaners. Welcome back.
I don't know that one.
That's Mace. That's Mace right there.
That's old school for me, yeah.
Yeah, oh, the old school rapper Mace. Yeah. Turn preacher, turn back to rapper, turn preacher again. It's great to be back with the leaner nation. Where my leaners at?
Here we are.
Where my leaners at from side to side? Okay, man, you did, Mace. Let's just calm down. You're kind of coming in a little bit hot. We know you've been gone. We know you've been lollygagging and hanging out. It's time to get back to work, buddy.
At camps.
Camps. Yeah,
we're both wearing camp hats.
Yeah, Camp Zoe. Camp. We're fresh. Camp Zoe, yeah. Just got back last night from Camp Zoe, a.k.a. Staff Retreat. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest, everywhere we went all summer long, I'm a leaner.
Yeah.
Gosh, do we have the best people.
The best.
I got to be honest, you know, maybe the Roganers or whatever, and maybe the, I don't know, maybe the Impulsors are great. You know, maybe the Call God Daddies or whatever. I don't know what you call themselves, but I'll tell you what we call ourselves. And we are our own tribe.
Yeah.
We are our own nation.
Yes.
What's the internet plant that they're convinced she's an internet plant? The girl, Bobby, is that her name?
Oh, yeah. Right? I just saw an interview with,
Yeah, she just interviewed with Portnoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she just, I'm wearing
my Montauk. She plays characters, yeah.
I'm wearing my Montauk hat. I ran into Dave Portnoy in Montauk. This is another conversation for another day. Anyways, leaners, we're back at it. And we're excited. And we're going to have the best end of the year ever. Mm. Best end of the year possible.
Yeah.
And we hope that you're doing great. Again, thank you to every person that helps get the message of leadership out. Because you know what? When the leader gets better,
everyone gets better.
Everybody gets better.
I have a shout out to Rachel, who is in Thailand with my sister, is a leaner.
Stop, in Thailand.
Yeah, and so I was FaceTiming my sister, and she's like, Rachel, get over here. And I met her on FaceTime. She's like, whoa. I was like, whoa. And it was just so cool.
Come on.
It was a leaner. We had a moment.
We've crossed the pond. We're overseas.
Yep.
If you're overseas listening to Lean In, let us know. We want to know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a leaner in France right now.
France. Now it makes me curious. I want to pull up the demographics for next podcast.
Yeah, let's go through some of our data.
What do you
want to take a census like David? Get us all killed? Let's do it. Thanks a lot, buddy. Terrible idea.
Such a specific.
Let's just stay faithful to what God has in front of us. All right, today. You don't have to be perfect, but you got to meet the standard.
Come on.
I want to talk to you today. In fact, I want to encourage every leaner. Let's up the ante in being excellent, having strong character. I feel like, you know, a lot of leaders, all we do, the more we lead, is add indulgences or what we can participate in now, what you can watch now, what you can say now. I find so much lenience and just like acceptance. Mm-hmm. But I think the more, let's go John Maxwell, hit me with it.
That everything rises and falls on leadership.
Gosh, that voice.
It sounds deeper every time we hear
that
it.
That voice is just, if that won't haunt you, I don't know what will. By the way, I got to see John on my summer break. Oh, and just the, I mean, come on. That man we can call GOAT. Hold on.
Did he sound like that? Or is this like, this
you
was
know,
recorded when he woke
you
up?
Know, I think this one was, he had recorded an audiobook or two that day. And hit it one more time.
That everything rises and falls on leadership.
I mean, if you're not in the studio that day, I don't know where you are. You're not. You don't talk like that at the restaurant.
No.
Anyways, John Maxwell would say, the more responsibilities you have, the less rights you have. Mm. Mm. So leader, you don't have that right to just do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say and spend however you want to spend. Don't ever become a leader that is plagued with entitlement.
Wow.
I'm entitled. I've got the title. And so I can do this and do that. No, you can't. You actually can't. And you don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. No one's going for perfection. We're going for excellence. We're going for best foot forward. We're going for effort. We're doing everything wholeheartedly. Why? Because we want to be the best of the best.
That's right.
I want to just encourage you that there's more inside of you. There's more to go, to learn, to achieve, to meet. You have not arrived. There's more inside of you. And you don't have to be perfect, but you got to meet the standard. I'm going to give you 10 standards you need in your leadership. Number one, you need to live above reproach. So you need to live above scrutiny, above being questioned, above, you know, the Bible says, avoid the appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. So I'm living above that. Man, that looks kind of sketchy. That looks kind of interesting. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if you should. No. Let's live above it.
That's right.
You know, this is a great rule of thumb. I remember a guy named Blaine Bartell. He was a youth pastor. He started 180 in Tulsa, yep. Oklahoma. Unbelievable. Creative, by the way. So creative. He used to have a list of, you know, leadership rules. And he would say, this is a great thought. If you can't put it on the 6 o'clock news, you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm. I love it.
I just think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Totally.
What are you saying? If I don't want everybody to know about it, why would I give myself that indulgence
that's
in
right.
private? Mm-hmm. So live above reproach. Number two, faithful to your spouse.
Hello.
We can work through a lot of problems, but we can't work through a lot of crisis.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
You can't have, these crazy over the top, terrible decisions that will take you out as a leader. So I always think that, you know, faithfulness will equal fruitfulness. And so it's continually making the decision. You know, I think the older I get, the more I, like a John Maxwell, other heroes of mine, the more I am just so thankful for their continual yes. Marriage is a continual yes. I continually choose yes. you. I continually pursue you. There's a good group of friends that Julie and I have that are studying, you know, kind of the collapse or the failure of a lot of marriages. Mm. And they're studying it from the man's perspective. What's going on with men today? And, you know, I think it's up to 70% of divorces right now are driven by female. And if they're a college graduate, it's up to, I think, almost 90%.
Wow.
And most of the guys, when this, you know, day comes, the divorce day, they're caught off guard completely because they have a greater evaluation of their marriage than their spouse does. And so the guy thinks it's going good. It's going fine. I think we're all right. And the girl's going, you don't provide X, Y, and Z. You're not this, that, and the other. Mm. And one of the things that they've discovered in their research is that the guy stopped pursuing the female.
Wow.
And became very just lackadaisical, very lazy, very just tell me what to do. Tell me what do you want me to do? I'll just do whatever you say. So now she's the boss. But one of the key contributors to these failed marriages they found is that they stopped. You know, like when you first date and you're like, I want to be by their side.
Yeah.
I want to go. We've got to go out to eat.
We're best friends.
Let's talk. And when you lose that, and that drift happens. I think faithfulness is not an attendance issue. Faithfulness is a heart issue.
That's right.
So
am I faithful in my heart? Am I faithful to love you and pursue you and know you and understand you? And, you know, people are changing.
Yeah.
So the new iteration of you, do I understand how you feel now and what season you're in? And I just love that. Be faithful to your spouse. You don't got to be perfect, but you got to have that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not going to go well if we mess that up. That's called home. Number three, self-control. You got self-control. So I understand we're all emotional. We all have emotions. But for the most part, it's like what I tell my boys. Are you controlling your emotions or are your emotions controlling you?
Wow.
Self-control, the exercise of self-control, which, by the way, manifests in multiple areas of our life. Mm-hmm. Let's just look at time, talent, treasure. How do I control my time? Mm-hmm. I tell my time where to go. Time doesn't tell me
that's
where
right.
it goes.
That's right.
I control my time. I control my emotions. I control my spending. I think the average American spends 17% more than they make annually.
It's crazy.
17% more. What is that saying? It's saying no matter what I make, it's not enough. Hmm. So I don't have the self-control to live under my means.
That's really good.
I want to find this. I got to do that. I got to go there. I got to, you know, last night, Taylor Swift, you know, is playing here in LA. I think it was her last night, if I'm not mistaken. And so some girls, you know, at their house talking to Julia and, you know, we're going to go down. We're going to try scalp tickets because right when the show starts, about 30, 45 minutes in, you know, the tickets prices go down and, you know, we can be in the nosebleeds, but at least we're there. And some of the ticket prices, I looked at Julia. I was like, should we go? Like, this is kind of, it's kind of like extremely affordable. We should have got too tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I saw one of the girls this morning, I said, did you go? Did you get in? And she said, you know, even with the deal, I just knew financially it wasn't the right decision.
Mm.
And it's like, it's just self-control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in control. And I think it's hard to follow a leader that's inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Part of exercising self-control is I self-regulate. I self-lead. I have self-respect. I have self-esteem. I have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, listen, you're going to have emotions. You're going to have hard seasons. You're going to have frustrations, but you have to be in control. It's my firm belief. I don't give the narrative of my life over to others. I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control of creating my reputation. I'm in control of my name. I mean, I give it to God, but I'm doing my best.
Right.
What's the old saying? You know, pray like it depends on God. Work like it depends on you.
So
there's
good.
Some control here. Number four, you're respected by all. You're respected by everybody. And here's the goal, leader. Everyone that knows you the best respects you the most. The people that know you, they know you good, bad, and ugly. And by the way, there needs to be some people in your life that they can see your human side. But this is a great thought. I've been thinking about, for leaders, when the novelty of who you are wears off, can people still not treat you with familiarity?
Wow.
But hold you in high esteem and respect?
Yeah, right.
Because people get around you like, April, you know, wow, Nate. And then they get to know you and they're like, oh, Nate's just like me.
Yeah.
Mm.
And April's just, wow, she's got some issues like I got, and she and she's got some shortcomings like I got, and wow, maybe April isn't that special. There's a day that everybody gets around you realizing they're just a normal person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And can people still esteem you and respect you and honor you even when they get to know you?
Right.
You need to be respected by people outside of your company and inside of your company, outside of your church and inside of your church, respected by all. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's following you, but everybody respects you.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think that's what I loved about watching Tim Keller and the celebration of his life was that he was respected by everybody.
Everyone.
And I thought that he won. What is greater than, it's like, do you want to be known or do you want to be respected?
That's right.
Uh-huh. You want to be famous? Well, you can get some virality. We can make anybody can make anybody famous.
Yes.
And there's a difference between being
infamous
and famous.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be infamous.
Right.
And I don't want to be famous. I want to be respected.
It's really great.
I want to be someone that's like, wow, respect your courage. I respect your consistency. I respect your yes. I respect you got a backbone. I respect your leadership. I respect your stewardship. To be respected is the main thing.
Hey, Leaners, it's so good to be back. We have missed you so much. We're going to take a quick minute from this episode and talk about our sponsor, AG1. We love AG1 here at Leadership Lean In because it helps us take control of our health. It is a supplement and it replaces your multivitamin, your probiotic, and a bunch of other things in just one simple habit. It's a little powder that you can put in your coffee, you can put it in your smoothie, you can put it in your yogurt, your oatmeal, whatever you want. It's great. It's so good for you. It gives you energy, makes us feel focused, and it is so good for you and so easy. And if you want to take control and take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/LLI. That's drinkag1.com/LLI. Check it out. Let's get back to the episode.
Number 5, you're a lover, not a fighter. Now, this is the standard. The standard is, I understand we got to address issues. We got to work through difficult things sometimes. We got to have difficult conversations sometimes. Not everything's always that easy. And you show me any leader that can't have a difficult conversation, you're not a leader.
Right.
Because there's something about clarity and communication and expectations and frustrations. And I respect anybody that has conflict resolution skills.
Right.
If you have only conflict skills, but you don't have resolution skills, I don't really trust you.
Yeah.
Because we all have conflict.
Right.
But we don't all have resolution. So can you get to the place where even if you're a challenge, you're an 8 on the Enneagram?
I am, yes.
You're a flower child on the Enneagram? What are you? A
3.
What is a feeling? You're a
4.
3. Okay, 4. Yeah. Yeah, three, a walking feeling.
I suppose. Everyone keeps saying that now. I'm like, okay, sure. I guess I'm 3-wing 4. I do have feelings.
That got me so good. That got me. And it was my own joke. You're a 3. I'm a 3. My point is, it doesn't matter your personality. Your personality doesn't trump the standard.
That's right.
The standard is you're known more as loving people than fighting with people.
Mm-hmm.
If there's always drama around you, it's definitely not what's around you.
Yeah,
right.
It's
a you, and you got to as a leader. You're called to be a peacemaker. You're a bridge builder.
Hold on. I'm just going to say this again because I thought that was so good. If there's always drama around you, it's not what's around you.
Yeah, that's so good.
So good.
Like, well, I just think like, one of my values is like, we're the last to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big value for me. We're the last to know. And I think the greatest leaders I've ever been around, they exude great discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And so the opposite of that to me is you're the first to know. You're always in the know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what they said. I don't know what they're doing. I stopped watching social media.
Yeah.
Sorry. I still love the TikTok.
Because
it's all random people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a lot of news and, you know.
Your algorithm is so perfect. Yeah, for that.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah.
It really
golf.
Is. It's golf. But it's a lot of news, a lot of current affairs, a lot of finances. Yeah. But Instagram, I stopped watching because I actually was like, I don't enjoy knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't want to know where they're at. I don't know why. It started to kind of not allow me to be that present.
Yeah.
Mm.
It affected my ability to be here in the moment.
Wow.
I was kind of thinking about other places and things. And I noticed that in myself. So I got rid of it. what my point is that you've got to do everything within your power to get drama off your name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fighting off your name. Conflict off your name. It's the whole thing. Like, they can change this morning. We read, this is so good. We're in the book of John today in my morning read through. And it said of Judas, once he ate the bread, from that moment, Satan entered. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? This is leadership right here. From that moment, Judas changed, but Jesus didn't. Huh. So what leadership to me is, I stay the same no matter what, even though other people can change. Mm. And I'm not going as far as to saying Satan entered everybody. I'm just saying that people changed.
Some people.
But I don't change. So Judas, who was once with me, is not with me. And by the way, you know, it fulfilled a prophecy that those that ate broke bread with you. And I thought, and I was writing this morning about people that break bread with you might change. Mm. And they might turn against you. But no matter what, you remain the same. I remain the same no matter what.
Right.
That is leadership. They change, I don't.
So good.
I grow, but I don't change.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Somebody bring the keyboard player. Number six, hospitable. You're hospitable. You got hospitality, which we were talking about a TV show just a minute ago. You guys were talking about, you know, the spirit of hospitality and learning hospitality. I'm a student of hospitality. I'm a student of atmosphere, creating the right
light.
Man, right. Do I care about lighting and volume. Oh, gosh, do I care about volume. I'm always on my Sonos app. You know, we got the speakers through the whole house, and I'm turning this one up, that one on, and that, blah, 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 and the volume, and the lighting, the candles, and the smell. I'm just talking about my house.
Right.
You know, when I come in this office, the first thing I say most every time I walk in the office is what?
The music is so loud. Turn it down.
But it's there's no music playing.
Because there's no music playing. So my line when I walk in this office is, hey, can you guys turn the music down? Because there's no music playing. And I'm like, you guys have created a library in a place that should be life-giving. And I just don't like that. It's about, oh, you got to meet the standard of hospitality. Next one, you're not a drunk. Mm. You're not a drunk. In everything, moderation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In everything, moderation.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, it's not that you can't have a drink. I went to dinner recently. This is about 3 weeks ago. I went to dinner with someone that I'm getting to know. And this is the first time it's ever happened to me that I can ever remember the person got drunk. And so now I'm at dinner. We're at dinner with somebody. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this in a really long time. And this is a, you know, very classy person. This person has a lot of money and is powerful in their own right. Very powerful. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, this is not good. And, you know, I just thought, you know, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for your name. It's not good for leadership. It's not. This just, there's requirements. There's standards. There's standards that have been set to be a leader. It's that above the reproach. It's always being ready. By the way, so you stay ready so you don't got to get ready.
Right.
And so, you know, be careful with what substances you are consuming. Be careful with where you're taking yourself or letting those things take you. It's not a good look. It's not going to benefit you. It's not the name or the reputation you want. It's not good leadership.
Right.
Be careful. Number eight, generous. You're generous, you know. And I, you know, I love law of opposites. So if being a leader is being generous, the law of opposite here is greed. Mm-hmm. And that spirit of greed, by the way, is never satisfied. It's never enough watches. It's never enough cars. Never enough followers. Right, never right. enough. It's unquenchable. Mm-hmm. It's like the eye can never be satisfied. So you be careful with that greedy spirit, because that greedy spirit wants, you know, more. It's and contentment is learned. Mm-hmm. You learn how to be content. You learn, wow, this is what I got. Woo! Awesome.
Yeah.
Man, do I love my city. And man, do I love my team. And man, do I love my paycheck. And man, do I love what I'm doing. And you train yourself. Greed will keep you going. It's not enough. They've got more. Comparison is a thief of joy. So you're comparing yourself. No, stop. Settle down. Be generous. The reason why you want to create a budget, And the reason why you want to save money is so that you can step into the most fun thing in the whole world, which is being radically generous.
That's right.
And that's I think, don't even just think about being generous. Try and even push it to another level. Go over and above in your generosity. That is, to me, the standard, the gold standard of leadership is you're generous with your time. You're generous with your platform. You're generous. By the way, let me just ask you, leader, do you want to have a platform or do you want to be a platform?
Love that.
Because if you're generous, you go, when people step on me or step on my name or step on what I built, I want to be a trampoline to launch their career to another level.
So good.
That is generosity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're not just talking about money. Number nine, you're a good parent. You're a good parent. This is a big deal that you're a good parent. In fact, I just got sent this parenting book earlier today. I'm excited to read it. Nate, you have a phenomenal podcast and huge on TikTok. Everybody at Leadership Leading needs to check out Dads Who Try. Just the thought, just the conversation about parenting.
Totally. I think, you know, we have an epidemic of parenting, of poor parenting in America specifically. One in four households don't have a father or father figure. Mm. You know, the ones that do, there's abuse. There's, you know, we're just parenting the way our parents taught us to parent. Yeah. But that's, I think that transcends, you know, parenting is just the most magnified example of how you see yourself as a leader.
So Woo! Good.
And so how you, that will boil down into your business, into Man. The rest of the people you lead. You just won't be as, it won't be as magnified because they're not your kids.
Yes, but it truly shows the most, you're saying?
Yes.
In our children.
Yes.
Isn't that so true? And that's why we got to continue to work on ourselves and get healthy and get stronger.
Right.
Because how can we build healthy, strong kids if we're not?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I like setting the standard. By the way, number two, your marriage. Number nine, your parenting.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I want to be a great leader. Okay, it's not always about the boardroom.
No.
Yeah.
It's about who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Checking off the right boxes.
Yep.
And don't be convinced otherwise. Nothing will tell of the greatness of your leadership like your children.
That's right.
Your children are a true reflection of your values and your leadership and your consistency. And the last one, number 10, here's the standard. You got to be proven. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Yep.
That's right.
I just like that because if I could use his accent, let me slap some Mike Tyson on you for today. Man, if I could do the Mike Tyson, I would hit it.
Don't
I'm not trying. No, I'm not trying. I'm not trying that. I ain't that dumb. I've been gone, but I ain't been since you've been gone. Everybody's got a plan. Till you get punched in the face. And leadership is this thing where it's like, I thought I was good. I thought they liked me. I thought we would win. How come I have? Leadership is about learning how to lead through disappointment.
Mm.
How to lead through being defeated. How to lead through a delay. So you got to prove yourself. We cannot do that in 6 months.
Mm.
It takes time to prove yourself that it's like, I've proven my loyalty. I've proven my faithfulness. I've proven that I'm a person of my word. I'm proven that I have integrity. I'm proven that I can continue to be faithful. I'm proving these things. And it's like, and nothing worse than trying to put your weight on somebody that's unproven.
Scary.
Or nothing worse, trying to put your weight on somebody that's like, I put my weight on here before and I can't. It's like being on a sprained ankle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like there's just no trust. There's no lift.
Yep.
None of the worst being an athlete. You did all the physical therapy and now you're going up for, you know, to jump and it's like, I hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like
scary.
But man, when you're proven, people just springboard. Just
yeah.
I don't even think about it. It's a no look pass. I know you. I know you who you are. I know where you came from. I know what you overcome. I know you could have quit. I know you could have thrown in the towel, but you're here and you. You're happy and you're joyful. Wow. You listen, you don't have to be perfect, but you got to meet the standard. And the more committed you are to the standard, the further you will go. Let's get it.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.